doesn't. Mission.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News, radio news about radio waves, radio art, and more. I'm Tom Rowe, your host, and we'll travel across the ether to hear what's going on in radio news. You're tuned into This Week in Radio News. I'm Tom Rowe with the radio news about radio waves. We are scouring the dial looking for stories about radio news, and we start this week in Washington, D.C., where the Federal Communications Commission took several actions at its July 16th meeting, including finalizing the plans to reduce the Enforcement Bureau, including the closing of 11 enforcement offices around the country. Quote, the proposal will improve efficiency, better position the agency to do effective radio interference detection and resolution and meet other enforcement needs, and save millions of dollars annually after implementation is complete, unquote, a statement from the FCC said this week. The initial plan would have closed more offices and laid off more staff. That was leaked a few months ago and met resistance from Republican circles and from New York congressmen and senators who complained about pirate radio issues in northern New Jersey and New York City, and how closing down enforcement and lessening enforcement efforts would hamper efforts to shut down the pirates that frequent the airwaves in those areas. The compromise proposal will require all field agents to be electrical engineers and eliminate 6 compliance specialist jobs. Field offices will continue to be open in Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Columbia, Maryland, Dallas, Denver, Honolulu, Hawaii, Los Angeles, Miami, New Orleans, New York, Portland, Oregon, and San Francisco, while FCC enforcement offices will close in Anchorage, Alaska, Buffalo, Detroit, Houston, Kansas City, Norfolk, Philadelphia, San Diego, San Juan, Seattle, and Tampa, Paul McLean at Radio World reported. In addition, the FCC plans rapid deployment, quote, Tiger, unquote, teams be stationed in Columbia, Maryland, and Denver to, quote, supplement and the enforcement efforts of other field offices when necessary and support high-priority enforcement actions nationwide, unquote. A slew of congressmen from the New York area sent a letter to the FCC asking for fewer closures of offices, and the National Association of Broadcasters also asked for more enforcement efforts. The NAB issued a statement saying, quote, it appreciates the work of both the FCC and Congress in forging a compromise FCC field office proposal that keeps open many more enforcement offices than was originally proposed, unquote, and thanked all the commissioners for taking note of, quote, a need to better enforce prohibition against pirate radio stations, unquote. Democrats Chairman Tom Wheeler and Commissioners Clyburn and Rosenworkel voted for the proposal. Republican Commissioners Pai and O'Reilly opted to concur and issue statements expressing some concerns. Pirate radio isn't just a problem in the United States for some broadcasters. In Nigeria, the Nigerian government is trying to shut down an illegal radio station in the breakaway state of Biafra. The Nigerian Ministry of Information told the BBC this week that it has, quote, successfully jammed the signals, unquote, of the pirate radio station, but the BBC's Absalom Ahmed in Angola says that Radio Biafra is still broadcasting in the southeastern part of Nigeria. The First Republic of Biafra declared its independence from Nigeria in May 1967, but was eventually defeated after a 3-year civil war that cost more than 1 million lives, according to the BBC. Their correspondent there says they hear phone-in programs on the pirate radio station with talk ridiculing President Muhammad Buhari of Nigeria and other government officials, and with speakers talking about how they'd like to break away and form their own country from Nigeria. Back in the United States, National Public Radio got much criticism a few months ago when it canceled Tell Me More, one of the only shows hosted by an African-American on the station, Michelle Martin. This week, NPR announced that Michelle Martin will be back as host of All Things Considered's weekend program. Kelly McGivers and Ari Shapiro will join Robert Siegel and Audie Cornish as host of the weekday All Things Considered, and other changes. The group Fair, Fairness, and Accuracy in Reporting put out a new study this week that found NPR commentary is dominated by white men and almost never directly addresses political issues. The study reviewed transcripts of NPR shows from January 1st to May 13th, 2015, looking for regular commentators on Morning Edition, All Things Considered, Weekend Edition Saturday, and Weekend Edition Sunday. They found 14 regular commentators on 106 total segments, moments. 12 of the 14 were men, and only 2 were non-white people of color. The 2 women were Bonnie Wolfe, who did a cooking segment, and Tess Taylor, a poetry critic. The 2 people of color were Eric Diggins, an African-American writer who writes about TV, and Betty Arcos, a native of Mexico who covers music culture. Only 4% of the 106 segments featured female commentators, according to the FAIR study. Go to FAIR.org for more information. July 18th is World Listening Day, and water is the theme this year around the world, as field recordists, acoustic ecology experts, and other sound recorders listen to water this year for World Listening Day. Several groups have released free online albums of collections of water recordings, including the Cities and Memories group, a global field recording and sound art group from Croatia. You can find their free album to download at citiesandmemories.com/soundwaves. Another group, PodTune, has a SoundCloud album featuring 10 different ambient composers working with humpback whale sounds. Artists such as William Baczynski, Eric Holm, Christina Vansu, and Mikael Jorgensen are among the collection at soundcloud.com/podtune. Let's hear first a William Baczynski track, Voyagers, from the PodTune collection of humpback whale songs. Then we'll hear Eric Powell's The Chimes of Canadian Rain, recorded in Regina, Canada, on This Week in Radio News. That was an excerpt of Eric Powell's The Chimes of Canada Rain, recorded in Regina, Canada, and made for World Listening Day, July 18th, 2015, with water as the theme this year around the world. Next, we're going to talk with Derek Poitras, an electronic artist who has a new record called Bahar out. He stopped by Wavefarm and talked to us about his record. First, we'll hear a bit of Sunlight Fruit Trees from the record Bahar from Derek Poitras.
Thank you.
And we were just hearing a track from Bahar.
Mm-hmm. But I sort of turned around and I noticed that this record deals with some loss and some feelings of injustice. And I think it's set a little bit cooler or a little bit deeper than like a preachy record. But it was kind of interesting that this album was so, not bloodletting, but it was dealing with some dissatisfaction. I'm usually pretty optimistic.
Was that intentional, or did that sort of just come out?
It totally surprised me. Like, I looked at the lyrics, and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
What was your intention going into the record?
Well, like I said, I've sort of gone more in the pop direction, and my goal always is to make something really beautiful. And it's sort of the aesthetic practices and the processes and the theory and the chin-stroking should all come together to support that. Like, it should never be about being a producer or being a composer or being a vocalist, or like, I don't ever want there to be like one facet of technical expertise that takes the forefront. It should all kind of coagulate to be beautiful, and like, that's the end goal.
That was Derek Poitras talking to us on This Week in Radio News about his new record Bahar, out now on Bit Phallix Music. I'm Tom Rowe. You're listening to Radio News About Radio Waves from Wave Farm Radio and WGXC.